He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this Monday, March the 21st. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, CEO of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Keit, chartered financial analyst. And Barry, we're looking forward to another active week in the market. That's for sure.
Certainly no shortage of topics to discuss. So hope you had a good weekend and ready to go.
I'm rested and I'm loaded. We've got so much news here that happened over the weekend that's impacting the markets here so far today. Well, we had that big rally in the markets last week, especially in the NASDAQ. So it'll be interesting to see if it follows through at all. I gave my comments on that over the weekend, which we'll get to here in a bit. But right now the Dow is down 135 to 34,616, and the NASDAQ, after a big rally, three-day rally last week, is down 116 points right now to 13,774. The S&P is down 9 points to 4,454. The Russell 2K down 8 points. That's a third of a percent. Here's the elephant in the room today, I suppose, with crude oil. Oh, man. Woo. Crude oil. A lot of news on crude over the weekend, and crude is up $5.83 to $110.53. So we're having a very good day because we're heavily invested in that area of the market. Gold is up 90 cents to $19.30, and, the 10-year. Up 8 basis points, and I got to believe that has a lot to do with the NASDAQ selling off. The 10-year is now at 2.23, and last but not least, Bitcoin. Bitcoin is down 310 to 41,210. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. And we do have a very exciting show for you today. There's a lot happening in the market. I'm watching Miranda Devine right now on one of the financial channels. I actually got to see a little lecture by Miranda Devine about 6 weeks ago and had dinner with Miranda Devine. I was one of the 20 or so people invited to a dinner. I sat right next to her and asked her a lot of questions. Very interesting lady who was a reporter for the New York Post. From Australia. Okay, boy, do we have a loaded show for you here today. I think one of the big questions this week, Barry, we saw a huge rally in the high tech, and I would even go so far as to say it was a spec tech. It was a spec tech rally on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I mean, in just a beleaguered sector, a sector that has just been absolutely decimated. There's actually a spec tech index, and I think it's down 65% from its high. So you've definitely had a huge bear market there. It had a three-day rally. The question is it for real? Will we see the market return to those spec tech stocks this week? Will that rally follow through? We'll talk a little bit about that today. Number two, we saw the oil sector finally perk up towards the end of the week, but we saw oil go clear down to $95 per barrel last week, maybe even 93, after hitting $130 during the weekend prior to that. That is another question we have on our minds. Is the oil shock over? Do we still have some major energy problems throughout the U.S.? And I think the third question, the spec tech rally occurred after the Fed announcement on Wednesday, which seems very counterintuitive there because the Fed was not exactly friendly. you know, even though dovish, dovish,
dovish tightening.
Tightening. Yeah. And I showed in my newsletter a picture of a guy with a, with a vice on his head.
That's a good one.
Just slowly, right. Jerome Powell slowly turning it, right? It wasn't exactly bullish news for the high PE stocks, but they had, for whatever reason, they had a big three-day rally. And the other area that was very shocking last week was the huge jump in the Chinese stocks. When all of a sudden President Xi did a about face in China and said, you know, we're going to support our stock market, which he has not shown any support for about the last year. And we'll also see if these Chinese stocks, if that move is real, the Alibabas of the world. And, of course, you know, another big elephant in the room is, I would say, if anything, that the Ukraine situation got worse over the weekend. Instead of any kind of hope for an end to the war, I would say, if anything, we're seeing dug in. I would say both sides have dug in, and I think it's just going to get worse and escalate. I talked to my Norwegian friend yesterday. He's fresher to America from Norway than I am. My ancestors came here. But, of course, Norway shares a border with Russia, and he's got a little closer to the action than we are, and he understands that part of the world a little more, I suppose, than we do over here. And his opinion was that Ukraine is not going to back down, and neither is Putin. They're not going to back down. So we kind of discussed that a little bit. If neither one of them are going to back down, where will this go? And I think that's weighing on the market too today, Barry, you know.
And the other thing that I woke up to, of course, was the crash of a Boeing 737. Not a max, but still, I mean, you know, Boeing being a component of the Dow, you know, down 5% at the moment. So, and that's another unfortunate for those on the plane and for Boeing in general. They've had tons of you know, news pile up over the years, and we've got clients that work there. We've got, you know, a big factory right down you know, they make the old Dreamliner right down the road from here where you and I are.
Yeah.
Though, so.
And the way that crash occurred, it sounded pretty reminiscent of the previous crashes there. Just all of a sudden started, you know, pointing down. So we'll have to see. And, of course, it is a member of the Dow. So, okay, where do we begin? Oh, we had one other big incident over the world that, you know, with all these big things happening, you know, Saudi Arabia and Iran are fighting a war with each other, and it's Yemen is kind of the country where it's being fought, this proxy war. Over the weekend,
yep,
Yemeni guerrillas took down a bunch of Saudi oil output on their lands. This has occurred before, and taking down production. So there you go. Now you have even more pressure on oil. And you're seeing that today in oil prices. Where is oil right now? Oil this morning.
Yeah, I got 110 pushing 111, up almost 6% today. So
wow. Yeah, 110.53. And I also talked to my Norwegian friend about, you know, the oil fields of Norway, which he says they could supply about 10% of what Europe needs. Biden is headed to Europe today. They're going to discuss a complete embargo. That means that Germany and most of Europe, which gets 40% of their gas from Russia, that pipeline would be shut off, the Nord Stream 1. And that means they would really have to scramble. I think, one of the countries in the Middle East is offering another 10% to the situation. Oman, I think it is. That's in one of my news items here today. And believe it or not, Israel has big oil fields, and they're offering, you know, President Biden he took his support away from those oil fields in February in favor of Russia, which makes no sense whatsoever, but it is what it is. And now I wonder if he will renew his support for the Russian or the Israeli pipeline, which goes through Cyprus, will head to Italy, and then they could say they could supply Europe with another 10%. So it seems like, and then of course the liquid natural gas that's coming from the U.S. From our friends at Cheniere Energy, LNG. So, man, I'll tell you what.
And they can't make enough of it.
No, I don't think the world got any better over the weekend. I hate to say it, but we'll come back with how that impacts the market and your investing. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, last week was pretty crazy week, and the last message I sent out on Friday was it was a wild week in the market this past week with an awful lot of frantic short covering. We will see next week if a rebound is now in place. The situation in Ukraine did not improve at all, and the Fed is on the warpath. But I guess the term dovish tightening is the new theme. ARK funds, China, and Europe all had huge bounces after brutal sell-offs. Then I went on to say it will be interesting to see if they can follow through next week. I have my doubts. I did make several new buys this past week. That was last week. And now here's the themes that I reiterated for 2022. I still see shortages, inflation, global conflict, and rising interest rates as the major theme in the market. Well, I think that's playing out today. I'm seeing these things that did so well last week really selling off sharply here today. And I'm seeing the Ukraine war update. He's digging in his heels in Ukraine, and, of course, Putin is digging in his heels. You have protests by European truckers. Okay, we saw Canadian truckers. They were protesting over the mask situation. The truckers in Europe are protesting high fuel prices. So that plays into the shortages and inflation themes, because inflation, Barry, is very much energy, as it plays a huge part in that inflation equation. And now that you've got the truckers on strike, wait, it gets worse. We're just beginning here, I hate to say it. But these are some pretty big protests. Spain had to deploy 23,000 police amid the trucker strike. They're mad about high fuel prices. I don't know what they're paying. Maybe you can do a quick Google search. What is the price of diesel in Spain? I know what the price of diesel
is. Price in liter. Yeah, it's priced in a liter, not even a gallon, by the way.
Yeah, so well, I know they have much higher prices over there. Okay. YouTube is threatening, or Russia is threatening YouTube for showing things that are anti-Russian. And, of course, Biden met with Xi last week, but I didn't see where anything came from that. And you've got this week the oil execs will appear before Congress. You're going to hear testimony from the heads of EOG, Devon, Occidental. You've got 20% rates, interest rates in Russia, as their market has been clobbered. The U.S. expects Putin to brandish a nuclear threat if the invasion stalls. And, of course, you've got Biden going to Europe today to talk about what next with all of this. The S&P 500, pretty bullish last week. But I would say this, all three indexes, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Dow, all have bear, what do you call those, not devil crosses, where the 50 drop, death crosses.
Oh, the death cross, yeah.
Every one of them, the 50-day has dropped below the 200-day. They've crossed over each other. They're holding on to support because they had big, big days last week. And I questioned it every single day. I looked at the quality of the stocks that were moving last week, and it wasn't what you'd want to see. The quality was pretty low. And, I mean, I've watched the markets for 23 years. I've looked at probably an average of 1,000 stocks of charts a day. I just saw all of the hallmarks of short covering. I think maybe they were looking for a quick end to the Ukraine conflict. I think maybe they were thinking that it could have been worse from the Fed. And I think that big move by China all of a sudden might have unleashed a lot of nervous short covering here in America. I think by this Friday we'll know whether or not it was for real or not. But certainly this first day of the week, you're not seeing that follow through. And the yes. height of the action, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I found your price for diesel, and we'll do it in gallons in dollars.
Yeah, we want gallons. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're doing all the conversions for you here. $7.62 as of March 14th, so that's a week ago. So likely, you know, the same or a bit higher. So 7.62 a gallon on average in Spain right now for diesel fuel.
Well, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're delivering a load of bananas or a load of wheat or whatever it is, auto parts, it's all got to be priced in as those shipping costs. You've got also, you know, that's what's driving the oil prices higher today, along with the attack over the weekend on the Saudi Arabian refinery by Houthi rebels, which are backed by Iran. And you're seeing an about-face, okay? Here's the about-face you're seeing. The International Energy Agency, the IEA, they last year urged an end to all new oil and gas and coal projects as a way to help the environment. Okay, that was a year ago, last year. Now, of course, you saw them probably last week, they say we have an emergency situation for global energy security. Well, okay, which is it? Here's their 10-point plan. It focuses on cutting consumption. They want to lower the speed limit on highways. What was that song? I won't drive 55. I can't drive 55. We did have, I remember in the 70s, we did have, you'd be going from San Diego to Las Vegas, which is just a drag strip, a freeway, I mean a raceway, and trying to go 55, okay, there's no way. All right, now they're encouraging carpooling, working from home, eliminating air travel for business, taking trains instead of planes, and the adoption of car-free Sundays, which I find very interesting because I can't walk to my local church.
Yeah, how do you get to church, right?
Well, I don't think they care about church is what I'm taking from this. And nowhere in their 10-point plan does it say, you know, we got to get these pipelines going again. Instead, we're supposed to stay home from church. Okay, now, Saudi, this is a problem. They're saying this is going to cause a supply problem. So here's another piece of bad news for oil and the energy supply. The big three U.S. oil field services are pulling out of Russia. That means Schlumberger and Baker Hughes and Halliburton will not be helping them to increase. It looks like there's going to be an embargo coming. Shell is resubmitting their plans for the gas fields in the UK, which obviously were nixed recently. But there is big oil fields in the North Sea there off the United Kingdom. We'll see when they resubmit their plans if they'll be okayed this time. Well, it gets even worse than that. That's why we're invested in energy stocks and other areas. Wait till you hear what happened to fertilizer over the weekend. We'll be right back. Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the market is definitely not following through on last week's big three-day rally. It seemed like a lot of things came unraveled over the weekend, the biggest one being the oil situation. You've got oil back over $110 per barrel today, as not only was there an attack on the Saudis refinery by the Houthi rebels out of Yemen, but you also have a potential complete embargo against Russia and what they supply. They supply about 40% of the gas to Europe through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, and of course Biden, President Biden, is headed there today. Or this week, I think it's today, to talk over with the EU leaders the potential complete shutting down of that pipeline, which would really crimp the supplies. Now, okay, we talked about the strike amongst the truckers as diesel soars above $7 per gallon in Europe. You've got a strike which is imminent at a big Chevron Northern California refinery. As if they're not paying enough already in California for gasoline, more than 500 workers at Chevron's Richmond, California refinery have told the company that will go on strike at midnight tonight. If the strike shuts down the refinery, it could impact gasoline supplies in California, which has some of the highest fuel prices in USA. The average in California, $5.85 per gallon for regular or for unleaded. And diesel, almost as bad as Europe, Barry, $6.26 per gallon for diesel. Boy, oh, wow. Yeah, you know, we'll see if they start striking in California.
That's... Well, and just do the math about, you know, five, at least around here, you're, you know, maybe a little better when you're in a long haul trucking situation, but, you know, roughly about, you know, 5 miles a gallon, you know, moving those sea cans from the port over to the warehouses here in town. So,
well,
it adds up quickly, put it that way.
Speed limits, carpooling, working from home, eliminating air travel, taking trains instead of planes, and car-free Sundays. That's what they're calling for.
Car-free.
All right. Yes. Why not Saturday? How about Friday? Then I could do something else. Okay, so there's another one. Potential commodity fallout from the Canadian Pacific Railroad strike. Okay, we talked about this a few weeks ago that it was coming earlier Sunday. Early Sunday, Canadian Pacific locked out 3,000 employees over a labor dispute. Now, this one is impacting fertilizer. The company is the second largest rail business in Canada, with service extending as far as Kansas City. Last week, Nutrien warned, that's the big fertilizer, one of the big three, that it would need to reduce potash production if the shutdown were to last more than a few days. The statement came as fertilizer prices in the U.S. hit record levels. Well, luckily, you know, Sunday was the first day of spring, and it's certainly spring around here. And I spent the day Saturday fertilizing my lawns, okay? Weed and feed. We get a lot of weeds. We get crabgrass, and the palm trees are very invasive. I don't know. Do you see all these little palm trees? Weeds.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Oh,
yeah, they're,
man.
And definitely the sago palms.
They're, what a nightmare. Yeah, they're just all through my grass. So I had, luckily, I had two bags from last year of Scott's Miracle-Gro weed and feed. I don't know how much they've gone up in price since last year, but I took those two bags. It took two bags to do all the lawn on my property here in Mount Pleasant. My back is no better for it, but it had to be done. And I've got to replace those two bags. I'm headed to Lowe's tonight. I'll report back tomorrow on what a bag of weed and feed cost. it's just, it's insane what is taking place. And, of course, we own fertilizer stocks. Now, not only does the Canadian Pacific Railroad, which Gordon Lightfoot sung about so many times, I love Gordon Lightfoot, it's also going to hit coal. It's going to hit energy, and it's going to hit grain.
Train-free Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it just seems like the big four, okay, are really getting clobbered here. You know, food, that's a big deal right now, which we'll get to here coming up. Kinder Morgan and Enbridge are urging the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission not to apply tough new climate standards to pipelines and liquefied natural gas projects. Well, they shut down a whole bunch of them that Kinder Morgan and Enbridge were working on because they've raised the standards as far as, you know, the release of CO2 emissions. Kinder Morgan has two projects awaiting FERC approval, pipelines in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and 13 miles of new pipeline and two new compressor stations in Louisiana and Mississippi pipeline network. They're begging the FERC commissioners, which have a lot of power. That's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. They give the thumbs up or the thumbs down, and they are begging. They said, look, we can't deliver what customers need unless we get these pipelines approved. So we'll see if there's any more leniency right now, but so far we're not seeing it. Aluminum surges after Australia bans alumina exports to Russia. Okay, so here's another big thing you're seeing. These companies that export to other countries, guess what? No, we're going to hoard. We're not going to export because we're worried about our own supplies. And not only does that apply to aluminum going from Australia to Russia, guess what else? Food protectionism is in play as countries raise export barriers. Interestingly enough, okay, talking about church, our lesson this Sunday was Joseph of Egypt with the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine. And
that was
family,
the time we won.
Yeah, his family had to go to him as he was the governor of Egypt, second in command, and he had had the foresight to store the grain for that seven-year famine, and had it not been for him, his family may have perished. Well, anyways, food protectionism in play as countries raise export barriers. Ukraine yields 10% of global wheat exports, 14% of corn exports, which is what the family went to buy from Joseph, was corn, and about half of the world's sunflower oil. Well, it's changing the entire world. Egypt is prohibiting staples like flour, lentils, and wheat from leaving the country for 3 months. Argentina, the biggest exporter of soybeans and meal and oil, is blocking traders from registering cargoes for export. This is going on around the world. Well, Indonesia also, the number one producer of palm oil. Nope, not anymore. They're going to hang on to it. This goes along with one of the themes we're playing here in 2022. Shortages between supply chain, between inflation, and between, you know, this conflict all of a sudden that came about in the Russia-Ukraine area, which is the breadbasket of Europe. Shortages, and of course, you know, the price to transport everything, Barry. It's nuts. It's like it's all ganging up on us here all at the same period of time. And last but not least, let's see. Oh, I see that Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs are now saying they're getting nervous that surging inflation exacerbated by the Ukraine-Russia conflict will derail the 22-month-old U.S. economic recovery. And they're starting to weigh the odds and increase the odds that this could all lead to a recession. They are saying 40% likelihood of a U.S. recession. Well, I didn't see it in the earnings estimates over the weekend. The earnings estimates have not been lowered, but personally I think the analysts are behind the curve. I think you're going to see earnings. How can they not be? When the price of shipping and the price of your input have all gone up, I don't think that's been taken into account in a lot of the earnings estimates out there right now. GDP, they downgrade their forecast from 2% to 1.75%. Well, the good news is there's a lot of areas of the market that are working, Barry, that are, you know, flourishing in this environment. That's what we'll focus on when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show with Gunderson Capital Management. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market has improved a little. Dow's down 150. NASDAQ's down about 90. But I'm kind of seeing a return to where we were last Monday at this time, before that big three-day rally on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I think you can kind of sum up today's action with one word: commodities. With a big exclamation point. Wow, the commodity stocks are just flying here today. And I can't say the same about the tech stocks. And it looks like China has resumed its losing ways. Yang, which is three times short China, is up 15% today. Okay, so let's just look at some of the charts here. I just did a quick sort on my database of over 6,000. Wheat definitely comes up, W-E-A-T. Wheat up 6.5%. That's an ETF, W-E-A-T. And we'll look at corn, C-O-R-N. Wow, look at that. It's up 2.8%, but getting ready to break out. And let's look up soybean, S-O-Y-B here today. Wow, up 1.8%. Closing in on a breakout there. So food commodities really taking off today. And then, of course, you get into the natural gas and the oil. There's Peabody Energy, BTU, up 15% today, BTU, and involved in coal also, which, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, all the things we're trying to get rid of, it seems like you can't get rid of them just yet. Otherwise, you have these massive shortages which are occurring, and you're seeing these stocks in the interim soar because of these shortages that have been created. Anything energy today? We mentioned four U's. U.
That's one of my favorite symbols.
Four
right now.
U's. Okay, no me's, just U's. It is up 6.7%. Now, uranium has come back into vogue. Nuclear energy. We'll see. You know, there's a big... I think a lot's going to come out. I think the energy policy in Europe, they're either going to stay the course, you know, with speed limits and carpools and riding your bike, or they're going to have to do something fairly, not drastic, but pretty major. If you're going to cut off Russia, a total embargo, and shut down that Nord Stream 1 pipeline, 2 is already off the table. 1 is currently supplying Europe with 40% of its energy there. Will nuclear be back on the table? Will Germany quit, shutting down and decommissioning their nuclear plants? California is doing the same thing. While Macron over in France, he's very much pro nuclear energy. So we'll see where that goes. But in the interim, it would seem that uranium is not something that's going to go away anytime soon. And I'm seeing the uranium stocks, UUUUU, and UEC is the other big one, UEC, Uranium Energy Corp. And then there's a uranium ETF, which is URA. It's up 4.2% today. So far you've got natural gas, coal, oil, uranium, all up today. Aluminum. Look at Alcoa today, up 10.7%. Now it's up 11%. A one-time member of the Dow. And, obviously, it's been out of the Dow for a long time. It's now a $17 billion company.
Yeah, it used to always be the first one to report. Remember, it was, just a big bellwether to start in terms of economic activity. And it certainly fell off a bit in terms of, like you said, getting, knocked out of the Dow. But then, of course, now it's coming back in vogue, right?
In a big way. Century Aluminum is another one there. It's up 13.5%. CENX. There is an ETF that we own in our Best Funds Now portfolio. DBC kind of covers it all. That's the Invesco DB Commodity Index. I think it pretty much covers a diversified mix of commodities. It's just investing in all of them instead of just focusing on soybeans or just focusing on coal. And there's several. There's a lot of Fidelity, Natural Resource Mutual Funds. PIMCO has a commodity fund. I've seen managed future funds.
Yeah, and peek, I advise, listeners, peek in to see what makes up those different funds, because each one of those companies creates an index in a different way. So you might have one that's very oil heavy, right? You might have one that's very, potentially very soft commodity heavy. It just kind of look, dive in there and figure out, take a look and see what you own, what you would.
Yeah.
Some of them
are just, they own one thing. The wheat fund owns, yeah. I don't know. There's also a grain one. JJG is grain. So, we're just living in a different world here post, pandemic. Supply chain crimped, demand up, fuel prices soaring, inflation soaring, global conflict. And then the last ones I would mention here, steel is also, the fertilizer, because of the Canadian strike and not getting fertilizer out of Russia and Ukraine, Intrepid Potash, IPI, is up 16.4% today. That's one of the smaller ones. That's a billion-dollar company headquartered in Colorado. But the companies that make this in the U.S. obviously are going to do well because they don't need the railroad in Canada or the coming out of Europe. So there's another area. It's all basically related. All of this is all intertwined with one another. And I continue to say it's going to show up at the supermarket. It's going to continue to show up at the supermarket. And let's just hope the shortages don't get too bad. But I fear they could really get tight. Anyways, if you'd like to talk to us, if you're not in the right areas of the market right now, 855-611-BEST. Get my newsletter from last week where I discussed all these issues. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.